Welcome to the Christian Life Coach Collective. I am your host, Laura Malone, and we're here to talk about life coaching, entrepreneurship, leading yourself well, and lots of spirit-led life and business strategies. So thanks for joining me on this journey, and let's jump into today's episode.
Hi, Lachelle.
I'm so glad to have you on the podcast.
You and I have been hanging out for a while now and working together, and we've done a lot of different things together now. So I want you to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about life before life coaching, who you are, what you do, and kind of what led you to where we got now.
All right. Well, I am a mom of three, and they are all adult kiddos now. I had the privilege of being the children's minister at our church and still am, and I've been doing that for 16, almost 17 years. Got to do that while I was raising my kids, and it was just such a blessing to be able to have some flexibility, but also just be able to do what I love in the church setting and have them involved as well. So I love that. A year and a half ago, my son, who's now 30, he went through a divorce, and it was gut-wrenching for our family. It was not expected. It was, we just did not see it coming. They had been married 6 years, were high school sweethearts, been together for about 11 years. And so she was part of our family. And I did everything I could to save the marriage, and so did he, but it just didn't happen. And so I had taken a training course to be a life coach. Well, I wouldn't say to be a life coach. I was just trying to understand how to help people, I think, several years ago. And that thought came back to my mind, and I started looking and see what a life coach was and what the possibilities were. And I just prayed after my son's divorce that God would redeem the hurt, the devastation that I had come from this loss. And I just really felt led to save marriages. So that's what brought me to search out a podcast. And honestly, I didn't even know, this is crazy, but I didn't know that Spotify had podcasts. I thought it was a music thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just searched Christian life coaching and found Sterling and Stowe, found the Christian Life Coach Collective. And I was hooked. I listened to every podcast, and we went on a discovery call, and you just really encouraged me to take that step. And before we ended the call, I did. And it was it was done, and it was scary, and I didn't know it, nor had I just done. And yet we launched into a relationship, into a something that just really catapulted me into becoming a life coach and to where I am now.
Right. So you and I jumped into like a coaching package and worked one-on-one together at first.
Right.
And we just walked through like where you were, where you wanted to be, the first steps that you needed to take to get there, and started kind of combing through your calling and what was in your heart and what you brought to the table and how to put that into the package of a business as a coach. Then you did what? Like, what was the first thing that you learned during that time that you needed to start doing?
I needed to take imperfect action. And this was something that honestly, I felt like I could not start something like this until I had all my ducks in a row. And if I had waited till that, I would still be putting ducks in a row. Let's be honest. I mean,
still looking for ducks.
But instead, I reached out to people and said, hey, I'm doing this thing. Can I coach you? And before I knew it, I was coaching. You know, I didn't get a whole bunch. I just kind of did them over time. But I mean, two or three people. And we were meeting once a week. And I was seeing what it meant and looked like. Laura gave me an outline. She, you know, prepped me for how to do follow-ups and just to be, to listen and to be available. And so
where'd you find these people?
Well, being on staff at church has been helpful, but they were definitely people that I knew just as moms of the kids in our church. And I honestly feel like you could just reach out in your friend group and find people, but maybe I'm oversimplifying it. I don't know.
No, I think that's very solid idea. I mean, you can ask people you know and then tell them, hey, tell people you know.
Right.
Right. Just it comes down to I'm a life coach. I help people.
Yeah.
I'm a life coach. I help people. What do you help them do? And that you were able to dial in because you already had that core message developing in you of I want to help marriages. And specifically, you wanted to help women in their marriages, wives, moms, et cetera, kind of connect better, understand more about who they are so that they can connect with their husbands better in flowing into their motherhood as well, right? That's
absolutely.
You had a knowledge of who you cared to help. And so when you found those people, you were able to tell them, I help people like you with coaching, right?
So right.
You kind of had a little bit of clarity about what was in your heart. You know, you wanted to help people, but you had also an idea of who you wanted to help.
Right.
And it was very more of a simple niche at that point. Women.
Yeah.
I want to help women who want to be married.
Right. They want to stay married.
Right. Like I want to be married now and later. And
yeah,
I want to stay that way. And so you started taking imperfect action and just making offers to coach people when you found them. And you did have the blessing and the benefit of being in front of a lot of people like that already who did trust you. Not
yeah.
everybody is in that situation.
Right.
Where they're surrounded by what would be considered their ideal clients. But
right.
you were. And if you hadn't been, what do you think you would have done if you didn't work at a church where there were married women? What do you think you would have done?
I mean, just me being me, I still would have started in the church and sought out those younger families, I believe. That has really turned into the ICA for me, and that they're the ones who, those younger kids, they put a stress on your marriage and you start wondering, what in the world did I do? But you are afraid to say that out loud to anyone because that sounds terrible, especially us church people. And so
right.
for them to, I think just to reach out to those young families and say, hey, marriage is hard. Mothering and marriage is hard. If you ever want to, you know, talk, I'm a life coach and I like to help.
Right. And then what would people say when you would say that to them? Like,
they
what are the responses?
They're like, sure. Now, you know, I had a couple that were like not interested, but pretty much, especially by putting away, would you help me out? I'm trying to learn how to do this. And, you know, so I definitely went out that way at the beginning. And, you know, we'd have coffee. They'd come to my office. It was good. And it was definitely a learning process, learning as I went.
And you didn't feel like you were doing it perfectly from the beginning. But you kept going.
No. Yes.
And then you ruin it.
And I also just realizing that you are helping people and that people really, as you have told me, they really just want you to listen. People need people to listen and they want a safe place to listen. And yeah, there's a lot of listening going on in coaching, which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. Right. What's the Bible verse? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak,
slow to anger. Yes. Put me on the spot there.
It's interesting that speaking and listening are also in the same breath spoken with anger, like also talking about
yeah.
anger.
Really interesting.
I think he was talking to us about something.
No.
So then, okay, you start, we're working together. You start realizing kind of some of the stuff that you need to start doing in order to grow into coach, into business owner, and start offering, start finding people. You just start bravely telling them you're a coach and you could help them. you know a little bit about your core message, and you haven't really developed like your ideal client avatar or your niche or anything. That's, you didn't have all the systems set up. You just started telling people, I would love to help you. And then people are like hungry because, yes, broken world needs help. So happy that you would say you could help them. And you started doing that for free, right?
Yes.
Before you started charging, you were practicing and so forth. And then what happened? You started creating content.
You really encouraged me to create content to see what was inside of me. So I just began writing, and then you encouraged me to have an email and send up like a devotional, which I could really relate to. And so I did. And I started in June sending out this story / devotional / encouraging word every other Sunday night. And I, you know, that's one thing I feel like if the content never does anything else, which I know it will, but it has helped me to have a rhythm, right? Like, no, I am a coach, so I do put out an email consistently. I do this consistently. I do this consistently. And so I feel like that has kept me in motion.
Oh, right. I think that's so good, because if you don't know what to do and you don't know when you should be doing it, it's really easy to, I've seen clients who just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not really doing anything. Like, I don't have any clients. And so this is not real. It's ethereal. It's a hobby. I'm interested in it. But until you really start putting when the rubber hits the road, right? It's no, I actually am making this commitment to do something in a time frame and tell people about it. And even if it's cricket for a long time, when those people find it, they will find consistency. They will see that they can trust me to be showing up. And then also what you did is you created a system that showed you would stay true to your own commitment. You would stay true to yourself and do what you said you would do. You would follow through. And that's the biggest piece there is showing yourself that you will do what you said you were going to do.
Yes. Yes.
That's because a really hard thing to overcome sometimes. Yeah.
And this is, I have stopped things before. And so I
think we can all have that sign.
And it wasn't like just a stop. It was just a gradual, well, I guess I didn't have time for that, you know, but.
Right.
But now you put that at the top of your list, and that's just part of what you do. It's not like, well, if I have time, right?
Right. Well, and we talked about the Sokoka system, like when we were coaching, laying out like, okay, sharing content, one, lets people know what you carry, but also helps you define what you carry. It helps you extract that core message and start giving it a container to release it into, and then making offers. So you started offering that, and then you started the concept of convert and onboard people so that you could start coaching them. And so what did that look like as you started stepping into conversion and like discovery calls, onboarding with your scheduler, getting those starter systems set up?
Well, thankfully, you had told me, I mean, I had my QD and my Stripe and my Google Docs set up back in July, probably. And I had my domain and I had my email address. And so I felt like I wasn't having to start something brand new. I feel like it was had been with me all along, which was good. And so when I decided to launch my official business and put prices out there, I went to start a bank account. Well, I did not know I had to have a DBA before I had a bank account. So that was the learning process, but I got that done.
To be clear, a DBA is a doing business as. Right. And depending on the state and city and town, and some governing bodies require you to have a DBA as a sole proprietor, some don't. You have to check where you are.
Right.
But you had set up as a sole proprietor
Right.
Versus an LLC when you started, which is generally how I recommend. Start here and make sure you're going to actually stay having a business before you pay to become an LLC.
Right.
And do all of the other setup. So you decided to stay a sole proprietor for a while, and then you went to the bank.
Right.
Then you had to go back and get a DBA and then go back to the bank, set up your bank account, which is really, really smart. Having your bank money, your business money separate from your personal money, I think tends to keep husbands happier.
Yeah. Well, it helps things come with when taxes and all the things. Like, you can like, okay, I'm making money, but how much am I spending? All the things. So it's good. Yeah. So after I did that, I was saying my business is official. I'm officially a life coach. This is the real deal. And it became more real to me. And so I was able to tell people that. So I was talking to someone at my church who offered me his office 2 days a week when he is not using his office. He's a counselor. I'm not able to use it 2 days a week, but for a couple hours here and there, I do use it. And for me, it has been good because, well, first of all, I was stepping into something else uncomfortable because I'm like, now I'm going to another office where there are other people. And just owning the reality of this is real, it was helpful. And while I was there the first several weeks, again, just for a couple hours, a couple days, I was just doing more of what I was doing. Instagram posts, emails. I started a blog with all this content, which was good. And then, and nothing was happening. So I felt a little like, I've gotten here and no. I'll see that if this is a win or a fail. But then after a month of nothing, but just I kept showing up, I kept doing all the things, I kept going to that office. I did acquire 3 clients within like 2 weeks. And so I have finished one of my 4 session packages, and she signed on for the next 4. And I have 2 others in process. And I really feel like I'm making a difference.
Absolutely.
Progress. And that, if nothing else motivates you, that will motivate you.
That's the funnest part, right? Yeah. The honor of seeing somebody else's life be shifted just because you were able to listen and then offer guidance.
Yeah.
Offer to walk with them from where they are to where they want to go and help them even just recognize where they want to go and that it's okay to want to go there. You know, like you said, you're helping to give women permission to identify how hard it is to do what they're doing as moms, as wives. And you're just saying, hey, I'll walk with you on this journey. And a lot of us just don't have anybody like that.
Yeah.
And not just in coaching, but in mom, like a lot of people don't have moms. A lot of people don't have a mother who has guidance to offer or willingness to give it or just somebody to.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is really powerful. And we were doing just one-on-one coaching and then you jumped into the mastermind last summer.
Right.
We had a 6-month mastermind. Tell me about that and what you were able to accomplish. Because you had a bunch of stuff, like you said, a lot of the starter setup, the foundations were already somewhat laid because the one-on-one work we did. But then in the mastermind, how did that help you progress?
Well, I feel like the biggest thing I took away from the mastermind, which I feel like is your goal, is to connect us with other colleagues, because life coaching can be a lonely profession when you're helping others, but you don't have people down the hall, you know, to compare notes with. And so I feel like I have a group of people across the nation who are at that time who were really encouraging, who were sharing their wins and their losses and their resources. And So yeah, one has become a very good friend, and another one I've reached out to now and then. And it was just a real growing experience to feel like I was, again, another step into this is real, because I'm working with other people who are doing it as well.
Yeah. I think doing it without peers is one of the hardest things to do. when you don't have any, like a whiteboard person, somebody to work with, somebody to bounce things off of. And also just when you're starting out, especially, and you don't have anybody in your life who understands your passion. And when you're excited about something, you don't have anybody to talk to. So love like the community to be able to celebrate together and say, I'm really struggling here. I need help. I did this big thing. And to my family, it seems little. But you guys know how big this was. It's one of the best things. And just to have a, like, I think the best community is not just peers, but peer coaching. You can't lose. They're going to coach you and be your friend. And
encourage you.
Yay.
Celebrate. Absolutely.
So I know that as you were taking steps, and just a lot of it in faith, just, okay, I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to believe it is possible. And I believe these people are coming my way. Even if I haven't found them yet, even if they haven't found me, I'm going to keep showing up. You got really consistent in your content creation, and you got consistent in setting aside time, because your husband and your boss both kind of like said, yes, we'll support you in making sure you have time to do this, which you had to follow through and say, like, well, I'm not going to just take time off work or not do other things and sit around. I am going to do the thing they're supporting me in doing. So you found people to support you. You started talking about what was in your heart to do. And then you started, I think, kind of attracting that favor of God and man. And like you said, you know, the counselor said, would you like to use my office 2 days a week? Like, how does that? Who gets that? And then you found other people who are willing to help you. So talk about just as you started walking towards what you wanted, what you wanted to offer.
Well, one thing that you had encouraged me to do, I can't remember if it was the mastermind or the one-on-one, but to get that board of investors. There's actually in both. You mentioned it in both.
People who will help you with inspiration, navigation, vision, execution, strategy, and team. All the things.
Anyway, I actually reached out to do that. I did that because I had to. But
your brain
has been behind me the whole way. And especially two of the four are just like weekly encouragers. And another one of the four came up with my logo, because she was an expert at Canva. And I just kind of sent her some ideas, and she said, yeah, but what about this? And I'm like, oh, I love that. And then another one, I do totally feel like one of my first clients came from a recommendation from her. And another one likes my posts every week and comments on my emails every week. And there's just nothing like that. But so that has definitely been people who've helped have encouraged me. My husband has just jumped on board. Just for him seeing me be consistent in this, and like, I am so proud of you, you know, just like, anyway, it's been wonderful because he has seen that I really mean this. I'm really going to do this. Right. And he's been very supportive. I grabbed on to one of my daughters who loves to, she's kind of a behind the scenes girl, but she loves to design. And so I kept on asking her about, what do you think about this Instagram post? What do you think about this business card? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And she just has an eye for it. So I started paying her a little bit when I launched officially. And she just kind of gives, I still do it because I told her I want to know how to do it, but it never looks as good until you put your flair on it. So that's been a good partnership. And just my kids saying, Mom, you've been at this for a solid year. I am so proud of you, because, you know, you just never know if it's going to just like go by the wayside with anything, right? Another beautiful thing that I get to do indirectly from this coaching is coach my kids, because I put them on my email list. And So even though they're not asking for information or advice, which is what you always want to wait for, right? Before you give advice, now they're just one on my email list. And if they need it, they need it. And if they grab onto it, they grab onto it. And they don't have to respond, which that's always the awkward thing. How do I respond to the advice you just gave me that I didn't want?
Right.
So that's been
I think that's a big piece of content, is that you are actually creating content that's available for your children, your grandchildren. Like, you create a ripple effect by creating content that will always be accessible and findable to them.
Yeah.
When they can't ask you, hey, mom, grandma, what should I do right now?
Yeah.
When you're not available to them in that moment, they can find your blog post or my podcast.
But honestly, after being with my kids, I'm like jotting down notes in my mind about my next email.
Yeah.
Because when I see things they're going through, and if I don't feel like I'm invited into that moment, I don't go there, but I might have an email about that soon and gives them the advice that I would give them, you know. It does definitely help content. And then after you start coaching clients, you get more content, because then you're like, wow, that's a real deal. I need to help people with that kind of thing. And the content, honestly, the way I'm doing it now, I don't feel like it will ever end, which is a different feeling now.
Yeah. So what would life have been like if you hadn't heeded that call, that thing in your heart where you're like, I would really love to help people? And you didn't go look for a podcast. You didn't find the Christian Life Coach Collective podcast. And you didn't schedule a consult, discovery call. And you didn't invest in taking action on the dream in your heart. Like, what would life be like today? Almost like we're at least at the year mark. We're past that, I think. So,
yes, we are. I feel like I'm very... I'm not sure exactly the right word, but bored, discouraged, unsettled, not sure what the future looks like, which of course none of us do, but at least I do have a good, clear view of life coaching in the future. I would be unsatisfied.
Discontent. I just really something about responding to the calling and responding and saying yes when you feel something within you rising up.
Yeah.
You know, and not, you didn't wait for that audible voice of God to go tell you do this. You were just like, I think God has put this in me. Yeah. I think that it's there for a reason. It's been cultivated over years. And you have been coaching people for a very long time. You just never called yourself a coach and you never got paid for it.
That too.
And I think especially a lot of people in ministry, you've been coaching, like we've been coaching for years or decades or a lot of different types of work. If we're a coach naturally, if we're called to be a coach, we're coaching without being called a coach, because people find us and say, I need help.
Right.
And so to take that, how did you feel to take something that you had been doing for free for 10 to 20 years and then start charging money for it? And do you see that there is a difference in the investment of people when they pay for it, when they choose it and say, I want this?
Yeah, I do look back on some of the people that I coached as free coaches and clients, I feel like had they been paying and had they been consistent and had I been more in a place of, I am a coach, I have something to offer, then I guess that's what I see different now. I feel they have skin in the game. I am offering everything that I've got, and although I'm still learning, I'm still growing. When they have questions, I want to find out even more better how to serve them. But definitely also another observation that I've made is that where I feel like my generation was not about, or at least in my immediate surroundings, we're not about spending money on counseling or spending money on self-help. I feel like that has changed. I feel like people aren't afraid to talk to someone. In fact, you find professionals who want, they just think that, yes, that's something I need, you know, even though I am a doctor, I am an attorney. I mean, two of my clients, one's an attorney and one's a doctor. And I felt a little intimidated at first, but then you start like, no, they realize that they have a gift and they have a skill set, and yet they need someone with a different skill set to help them with different things as well.
Right. And like, so, you would never say, I'm a coach and I'm just so well-rounded and good in my life that I could be my own attorney or doctor.
Exactly.
You wouldn't think that. So they obviously understand, like, I'm good at law.
Yeah.
But I'm not good at this, and somebody else is. And the value of saying, like, don't try to make every weakness a strength. Go find other people and leverage your time with somebody who can really help you because they are strong in that area.
Yeah, so good. And I just think people in this generation are looking for that. They're open to that. They're looking for that. They are expecting to pay for that. It's a different time than what I grew up in, which is good in that way for sure.
I think a lot of coaches working on their businesses need to hear that there are people out there. You haven't met them yet, but they are out there and they do want help. They just need to know help is available.
Yes.
Especially in this format of coaching, which is not counseling. Some people are like, I don't need counseling. I just wish I had somebody help me to walk forward.
Yeah.
How to walk this path well, you know? So you're definitely doing that. And I am so proud of the work that you've done. You've taken a lot of imperfect action, and then you have refined that imperfect action, and you've made the tweaks and the changes, and you're making the work that you're doing more excellent as you go by continuing to show up consistently and take more imperfect action. Every time you hit something, you're like, I don't know how to do this. And then you did it anyway.
Just this past week, I had to come up with a client review. And honestly, there's probably a module for that. And I was like, oh, I bet there's one out there. But
it's in Call to Coach modules.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought, no, I'm just going to jump on Canva. I'm going to do it easy, 1 to 10. And I was like, here we go. My daughter wasn't available to give her sparkle to it, but I just needed it to be practical. And I asked for the testimonial. And it was my first one returned. And I'm like, yes, it's. So I've added that to my process. After every fourth session, I will send that out. And if they want to keep going, then that's great. But I don't know if I'll make them have to give me a testimonial every time. But I do want them to rate where they are, right? And how it's going, because I want to keep getting better. And I put that on there as well, you know?
That's awesome. So are you going to start offering packages longer than 4 sessions?
Well, maybe we should talk, because I...
That's another coping session, not an interview.
At this point, no, I had not considered that. But now that I am realizing that, I don't see any of these three being done at 4 weeks. And I really, starting out, I thought that that's what it would be. 4 weeks and we are golden, you know? But now I'm like, wow, you know, if someone's willing to talk about one area, they're probably going to be ready to talk about a different area when that one is working well. And even just like check-ins, or maybe it's going to be every other week rather than every week, or I'm growing in my knowledge on that one.
Well, I think And this is how we start out is, okay, offer 4, 6, 8 weeks, something like that, that you feel comfortable with. And then you grow into awareness of my client to get from point A to point B could do this depending on, you know, the person that you're working with and the work that you're doing. Maybe it only takes 4 sessions to get the results they want. But as you do 4 sessions at a time or 6 or 8, then you start saying, it took them 20 years to get to where they're at. It's probably going to help take a little bit more time to help yeah. them do the what they believe, how they act, what they're doing, right. so right. that they can get the results they want. And as you work with people, you start seeing, I think we need a little more time than that. And you can start creating packages and offers based on the amount of time you believe it's really going to take a client. So if you work with all of these women and they sign up after 4 weeks, want to do this again, that's awesome. And it builds your confidence and it gives you more clarity, right? But then if you see, wow, the results she wanted in the beginning really did take 12 weeks to get.
Yeah.
Then you can start offering a 12-session package in the future and say, I believe that we can get a lot of work done. We can really get some results in 12 sessions, however you want to schedule this, right? So, and that can turn into, wow, I know what we can do in 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow, I know how powerful it's going to be to work with somebody for a full year of sessions of coaching. And I can see like incredible results in their lives. Their marriage is different. Their household has peace, right? So you don't have to jump and start doing all, you know, offer a year from the get-go. You've started in these very actionable steps and you're starting to see really great fruit from that. And then that'll just grow as you see the needs of your clients and the work that you want to do. And it'll just grow and benefit everybody. It'll be really fruitful. So you're doing a lot of really big stuff. At the same time, you have a job and a husband and kids and grandbabies. And so what's that like in trying to think about the transition of one day I would like to not work a second job. I would like to just run my coaching business.
Yeah, since I have been on church staff for 17 years almost, I think it's more of a mourning time of considering what that looks like for me not to be on staff. But it's kind of like every other day, oh, I'm ready, or oh, I couldn't get this up, you know. So I'm allowing that process to take place. And also my prayer since the business is merged, it's just been your will, God, and your way. And I just truly am seeking his time in all this and just so grateful for the ones who have come alongside me. And my pastor said, Lachelle, you've been a life coach all this time. This is exactly what you need to do. And then when I got stuck and I was talking to my friend Jessica from the mastermind, she said, Lachelle, I think you need to use this time when you're in this office to pray and you need to get a coaching map together and things that I'm like, I'm sure I knew to do that. Just those reminders. And just, I just think that we do need people encouraging us and speaking into our lives. And, the more people you invite into the process, the better and the more confident you're going to be about it.
Right. The more action you take, the more clarity you're going to get. And then you're going to get confidence. And then after you've done it, that's when you look back and say, that's how I did it.
Another thing that I did was once I got in to this office, which was with a counseling group, I made appointments with the different counselors because I thought I was just going to like be running into them between, you know, like sessions and stuff. And I never saw anyone. I would go into my office and I would leave. And so I specifically sought out these counselors to have us to talk with them and get information from them, grow, you know, like, how did you do this? And what do you see this world you know, how do you see this evolving and as far as coaching and life coaching? And then I was asked to be on this counseling collaboration with other counselors. And so again, I just feel like the more you put feelers out there and the more you have, you just say, I'm a coach, excuse me. The more you say I'm a coach, the more I'm trying to help people. I think, and just pray for God to lead. I feel like people come alongside and really want you to succeed.
I agree. But you have to let them know there's something you're trying to succeed at so they can support you, right?
Right. Right.
So good. Well, it's been an honor to work with you. I love our conversations and sessions together. And I'm really proud of you that you haven't quit on yourself. There are things that we all start and then we don't follow through, but this is really something that you're called to. And you have taken your time to get into it at your own pace so that it would work with the other things you have going on in your life, the other responsibilities and things that you care about doing, and new grandbabies and all of the things. And you're still doing your other job really well and showing up for it, but really showing up big for this calling on your life, this thing that you want to do. And you are setting an example, not just on this episode, but to your kids and everybody at church, of what imperfect action looks like. Not waiting till you're fit to go to the gym. Like, don't stop collecting duck. They're not going to get in a row. By the way, if you ever line them up in a row, they're either not going to move because they're rubber, or they're going to get out of line. It doesn't even matter that you lined them up. So yes, take action, and then you'll see like which ducks you actually want to keep in the water and which ones you don't need. But you don't know that until you start going and you're setting an example of what that looks like to your family and the people around you and your clients, and, you know, an example of what's possible.
Well,
even at this stage of life, like, you're like, I have renewed, like, my kids are gone.
Yes. Yes.
I've been doing this job for 17 years, yeah. And I have renewed hope about, like, what the rest of my life looks like doing something that I love doing.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's, I love the idea of being flexible and yet still truly making an impact in the lives of others.
That is such a blessing to me, because we may move, but I still have my computer and I still have those connections. I probably won't work at the church any longer, but I still have that avenue to help others and to be what God has called me to be in the lives of others.
Yeah. Life coaching is the best job. That's my
amen.
That's my personal opinion. I can do it from anywhere I am. Anywhere I move to, anywhere I'm on vacation, anywhere I'm traveling, in the middle of anything, I can stop and work with a client and work with people, get great results, and feel so much satisfaction at the end of the day that what I've done has made an impact in the world.
Yeah.
In at least one person's life. And like, mm-hmm. I'm just here for the one.
And then they trickle out and impact other people.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's transformation all the way around. So for coaches who are starting out, do you have any wisdom, guidance, advice? What would you say?
I would say take imperfect action. Take a next step. Whatever that is for you, take the next step. Listen to Laura's podcast. Sign up with a one-on-one or a session with her, because it just helps to have someone on your team. It helps to have a coach. It helps to have someone who's already done it, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Don't reinvent wheels. We don't got time for that.
No.
People need help. They don't need wheel builders. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for the commercial. I appreciate your support.
And just keep on going, right? Just keep on showing up. That is another one of Laura's mantras. Keep on showing up. Just keep showing up. And that's what I'm doing with my 3 clients and my 38 email people. And we'll see where we are next year.
I am on your email list. I will forever be there. Your emails are great. So we'll put in the show notes ways for people to connect with you and get on your email list.
Wonderful. Please,
if come on. They want you have wisdom in their inbox about how to be married, stay married, and love being married. You're really great at your encouragement. And I even just taking all of the things you write for blog content, email content, I'm sorry, that can just be a published devotional one day. Why can't that just become a book, right?
There's
look
my
what God's doing. That is the possibility in me.
There it is. There it is. Love it.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast and sharing all of this, because I know that it's going to be really helpful to a lot of people who feel like they're stuck in some of these areas, just to hear somebody else say, I was there, but I got past it. I moved through. And just keep showing up, stay consistent, take imperfect action, be true to yourself and what the calling on your life is, what the dream in your heart is. And that's what you're doing. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's wrapped. We're going to have everything in the show notes so people can find you. And also maybe a link if they want you to be their coach.
I love it. I would love it.
All right. Because you have all that set up. You're ready to go.
I'm ready.
Hey friends, don't forget to jump into the Christian Life Coach Collective Facebook group if you haven't already, so you can connect with like-directed people and get free resources and ask for feedback, all the things that are going to help support you on your calling as a coach. I hope to see you in there, and don't forget to subscribe to the show.